She's recording.
She's recording.
Hello, Michael, and hello to the audience.
Hi, audience. Hi, Holly. Taking a sip of my Pinot Blanc.
Ugh. Did you try it yet?
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not bad. I like
it. Yeah, the aftertaste is pretty good, actually. It's settling in.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
How do we usually start these?
Are we still doing, this is Apartment 1R. Welcome to Apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Perturbed.
Welcome back to another episode of Perturbed. We missed you.
Or should we say, welcome back to Apartment 1R. We are Perturbed.
Should I say welcome back to 1R where we are? And then you say,
sure.
Welcome back to Apartment 1R where we are
Perturbed. You said R funny.
I did. It's like all of a sudden I'm from Wisconsin. I have like a cheese grater in my... Okay, it's just you and me here. Are you joking? Welcome back to another episode of Welcome back to Apartment 1R where we are
Perturbed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Holly.
And the world wants to know, Holly, what perturbs you? Finish that sip, baby.
Loud music at bars. At bars specifically. And it perturbs me when the music's too loud everywhere. In a lot of different circumstances, I'll just include these real quick. And then I'm going to get into the bar thing.
Uh-huh.
Live music, when it's like reverbing and slicing into everybody's ears. I don't enjoy myself in those spaces. I really don't. It's a physical pain for me.
If you're at like a small restaurant, they have like a guy in the back on the guitar.
Even if it's like a jazz club and it's just like there's nothing absorbing the sound and it's just like insane.
Ricocheting around like a bullet in a tin can through your ear.
Yeah, like a thousand little bullets. But what really perturbs me, because at least in those spaces, like if you're in a club, if you're at a jazz club or if you're at a dance club, like there's some level of decision making there. Like you knew what you were getting yourself into.
Right.
What perturbs me is when I go to a bar, there is no dance floor available.
I call them brown bars. Like,
yeah, they're like wooden. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, a little rustic. Sometimes you walk downstairs to get into them. You want it to feel cozy. You want it to feel local. You want to feel like you're going out with some coworkers and you're getting to know your coworkers a little better, maybe. Every time I have gone to a bar like that in the past few months, it has been excruciatingly loud. And I am not able to connect with my peers or the people that I have gone with. I waste money just to scream.
Mm-hmm.
In order to speak to them and hear them.
And it's like, you don't have a dance floor, so what are we doing?
Why is the music that loud?
Like, the only reason a bar like that exists is so you can go have a drink, chat,
yeah,
bring friends, mingle.
Why are you keeping us from having a conversation? How does it serve you as a bar to make it hard to communicate? What are your goals? Why are you doing this to us?
I feel like, and this is my suspicion as a bartender, because I keep it at a normal pace, because want to know what it is also? Read the room. If everybody's like taking shots of Patron, like you're trying to get lit, okay, let's put the music up.
No.
But I've been at the bar where it's one person on their laptop doing homework. My boss comes over and is like, put the music up. And I'm like, no, that's not the vibe right now. Like, people are chilling. Like, let them chill. We don't need the music blasting. And I feel like they want to blast the music because they don't want anybody to feel awkward. Again, I don't agree with this mentality because I enjoy some loud music myself, but I do feel like there's a time and a place for it. And a lot of times it feels really weird at the bar when it's just like a few people sitting there and the music is blaring loud. And I feel like they put it up because they want to fill up the awkward silence with music. So they're not sitting there like, this place is weird. They're able to just like zone into the music, I guess. But what's really happening is you're making it harder for them to like turn to the person next to them and be like, how's your day? Where are you from?
Yeah, because you're doing your job. So you don't have to connect or communicate with anybody.
As a matter of fact, I'm actively avoiding connecting and communicating with the customers.
Exactly. But the customers are not doing that. The customers went there for a reason. They're spending their money for a reason. It's a communal place. It's supposed to be a communal place. It's like really bothersome to me. It's really stupid. Managers are really stupid.
Managers.
No, like they're really fucking stupid.
No, they are. No,
it's like, I don't like to use that word stupid. I've said that on the pod before, but like I'm getting really mad thinking about how fucking stupid they are.
So like the listener can't see Holly, but she's shaking. She's literally like,
no, like
gripping, her hand is red.
Stupid. Think about every single decision that they make.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you, for example, you have two servers. Why are you filling up every seat in the restaurant when you know that you and your two servers cannot handle that amount of customers.
Because they only care about the appearance of things from people that aren't even buying anything. Like, if they have a really busy restaurant and you're walking down the sidewalk, they're going to look in and see, oh, all the tables are sat. This place looks like a fun place to be.
Yeah, and it's
so that's
stupid.
Who you're catering for. Some random person that's not even, like, in the experience. Everyone that's in the experience is suffering because it's a shit show.
Everybody. Everybody who's seated, they haven't gotten their water yet. They sat down 20 minutes ago.
I got to take my medication. I had to get up and go to the bathroom to take my pill.
The servers are frustrated. The manager's frustrated taking it out on the servers for some reason, even though it's the manager's fault for letting everybody in. It's like really fucking ridiculous.
I feel like you have to be a certain level of, like, you have to be a certain type of person to be a manager in the food food and beverage industry. And I've had some great managers, and by some I mean maybe 5% of the managers I've ever had in this industry are like angels sent from heaven. But a majority of them are the hardest part about my job. Like, it's not customers, it's not learning drink recipes, it's not coworkers. It's always like the manager that's standing in between me and success, and it should be the other way around. It should be like, they're the ones guiding you and helping you.
Yeah.
But that's not the case because they're on little ego trips all the time and obsessed with their power. So they're like abusing it to feel important. But mama.
You're right. It's the ego trip thing.
It is, because they're like, oh, I have a little power over you. So because if you see, because it's like not a secret that being a manager in the restaurant industry is like a rough job to have psychologically. So yeah. I feel like in order to be a manager in this industry, you have to just be after the power. Like, that's the thing that's like making you be like, I'm going to do these harder extra hours without that much of a pay raise and be responsible for this shit show that is this restaurant. The benefit of that is I am in charge. Like, people in this industry that are managers seek out power. So that's why you get people in this position that are abusive.
They don't really have boundaries with work. So in that sense, I feel bad for them.
I feel bad for them too.
But like, the thing is, when you're making stupid ass decisions,
dumb,
like the one I described before, when you're letting every customer, and if the customer says, I see a table open, why don't you let me in? Then you fucking tell the customer, be honest, live in an honest world. Tell the customer, we have two servers. If you want to go sit, you're just going to have to wait about maybe 30, 40 minutes. Either way, you can stand out here and wait, or you can go and sit. But like, you're not going to get service. You need to understand that, because we are short staffed and that's just a part of the world. Things like that happen. They don't want to be honest, though. Like, they want to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, because the customer is always right.
And then meanwhile, like, the thing that annoys me is that this is not going to help you in the short term and the long term. Like, there is no benefit to doing it.
Yeah, because your comps are going to be through the roof, because you're going to be comping off. And right. A comp is, by the way, for if you've never worked in the industry, it's like, oh, the service is bad, so we took off an appetizer, blah, blah. At the end of the day, those all add up. And it looks bad on you if you, as a manager, have hundreds of dollars worth of, like, refunds and shit.
Then you have people who had a horrible, horrible experience. People who spend their money. A lot of people who probably don't even have the money to spend in the first place. Yeah. Spending their money.
Their
spending
friends
their
dragged
credits,
them out for a birthday dinner.
Yeah. To have a horrible experience. They're never going to come back. So now you've lost a customer long term. And like, you're emotionally scarring your employees.
So the morale is down. They're not greeting tables like, hi, how are you? They're like sweating and like twitching and they hate their job.
It's like fucking stupid. They're stupid sometimes.
And then at the end of all that, they're like, it's your fault, servers.
Yeah, that's what they do. They literally do that. At the job that Michael works at, where I used to work, it's a movie theater. At the movie theater, they provide blankets, pillows, whatever. And I remember I was gathering some blankets. No, actually, I was just walking into the closet. And there's a movie theater across from the closet door. And next to the door into the movie theater, they have the cabinets with the blankets or whatever. So guy's like grabbing a couple blankets and he sees me going into the storage closet or whatever. And he goes, hey, what's the deal with these blankets? Like, are they clean? Like, be real. And I was like, I mean, we wash. And right in the middle of me saying that we wash them, the head chef, who's also walking into the storage closet, goes, they're brand new. They're all brand new. And cuts me off and then lies to them. And then they walk away. And then he looks at me and he goes, don't ever say that again. And I'm like, why are you being an idiot? You should be in the fucking kitchen, bitch.
First of all,
sorry to say that. Like, I know that sounds harsh, but get in the fucking kitchen. You're not a server. You're not front of house, bitch. Get in the kitchen. Do not cut me off when I'm in the middle of telling the truth in order to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cut me off with a fucking lie. You look like an idiot.
And it's like, I'm front of the house, so I'm talking to customers. That's my job.
That's my motherfucking job. And you want me, that is unbelievably unethical, to lie to the customers. If they don't want to use a blanket that's washed, that's their choice. They still paid their ticket. They're still here. It's fine. But what's not fine is lying to them.
And it's because I feel like we are human beings who are relaxed about the world, as like I feel like a lot of people are. That person asking if the blankets were washed sounded like he was asking in a relaxed way. It's not like he was like, are these blankets washed? He was like, just tell me the deal. What's the tea?
That's exactly how he said it. Yeah. He was super casual, super
And it's like
nice.
You're just filling him in on the tea and having an authentic like human connection, which people value. People value authentic right. human connections from servers or from any type of employee situation, and he's interrupting that with the lies and corporate bullshit that people hate
right.
seeing.
Right.
So like, you're making yourself look bad, number one. Number two, I'm doing my job, you're interrupting me. How would you feel if I walked into the kitchen, stood in between you and the pot you were stirring, and told you how to do it? Like, what makes you feel like you have the right to do that? Because you have power over me, because you're a manager? Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Like, that's like some, like, you're being an idiot.
No, because you're doing too much. Like, you're doing too much.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're also like, you're like living, I don't know, like when you become a manager or Holly, a chef.
I wish that we had visuals. Like Holly's like ripping her jacket off, shaking.
Because they just like sort of lose themselves. Mm-hmm. Is it just me? But they like literally, this wasn't even my perturbed. Like my perturbed was loud music, but like.
Okay, we got here. We got here.
But the thing is, you know what? When we talk about loud music, I bet you it's the fucking manager's making. And you were the one who mentioned that it was a manager who made that decision.
Yeah.
And it's probably all managers making these stupid ass decisions. And then who has to be the one to face the decisions that the managers make is the servers.
Oh, when I throw everyone out of the box, I'm like, girl, this isn't my choice.
I did the same thing. It
this
saved
me. It's not my choice. With everything.
But sometimes
what's
like,
on the TV, what music, our playlist, because we have a corporate playlist, which I can't stand. I just hate fucking corporate America.
Yeah.
Because like when you're going out and especially being a bartender, bars are supposed to be an Adult Swim scenario. You know, like you're a bartender, you're going to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like everyone is on an equal playing field. We're all above 21. We're all adults. We're all here to have a good time. We're not here to go grocery shopping. We're not here because your grandma dragged you to a birthday dinner. We're here to get drunk and have a good time. It's a very relaxed environment. So when I get corporate managers who are in charge of like running a kid's movie theater and whatever, but because it's in the same building, they have charge over me. I go, like I'm a bartender. It's a different thing. Like they don't. People aren't here for this bullshit. Like, people aren't going to like it if you have some corporate playlist on, if you have this crappy uniform that's OSHA safe. Like, keep that shit in, like, family land.
Yeah.
You know, get it away from the Adult Swim. Like, we're here to relax. People need relaxation. People really need relaxation in the world.
You know, like, in, like, movies when, like, someone starts to, like, they go into the past or something, and then
Christmas past is like, bitch, look at this little boy.
No, or like they like change the past in some way, and because they change the past, they no longer exist in the future, so their body starts to slowly disappear. It starts with their hands are clear, and then they're like getting the
it's
time
back
is
to the future. He's looking at the picture of his siblings like disappearing.
Yeah I feel like that's a manager's like soul.
Yes.
Over time.
One time my manager, the most corporate entity, bleep that out, but I want to say it with my chest.
Okay. What did
he do? He came up to me and said, I feel like you're a younger version of me. And that's when I knew I had to get as far away from this corporate life as I possibly can. Like, I knew I had to go running as far as I can, because I don't want to be in any way, shape, or form that man. And what he is a shell of who he probably used to be, because he's just right. A corporate puppet.
Mm-hmm. A fucking puppet. An empty shell.
An empty shell with a hand up his ass, chirping, barking orders out that he doesn't even know what he's talking about. I want to know what we should have. You know how we have opposite day? We have bring your son to work day, blah, blah, blah. I want all managers to just like do the jobs of the people they manage for a day and just watch. Just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Like, watch my manager run the bar for a full shift. I would pay money to see that. Should I open the red?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm trying to think if my managers did anything recently that was annoying. Oh, should we move on to the topic for today?
Do you have anything you want to get off your chest first in this perturbed section?
Okay, let me go back to the music thing real quick. At my friend's mom's 60th birthday party, they had it at an event space and they had a DJ. I went up to the DJ. It was literally so loud. It was so loud that, like, I don't know. Like, is it Just me? Because I look around sometimes and I'm like, I can feel it physically. And it's not like good. It's not like vibrational. It's like slicing through my brain.
It's not like Zen chakra vibration. It's like,
yeah,
rattling.
It's not like it's coming through the floor. It's coming through the air straight at me into my ears. So at this party, like, again, I'm already fed up because of like going out with my coworkers earlier that week and struggling to hear them when we were in a very rustic, low-key bar because the music was so loud. And when I was at the bar, I went up to the bartender and I was like, do we think this music's a little bit loud? I'm sorry, but like I had
an attitude.
Your
Karen is like coming out.
My Karen is coming out. I can't help it. So anyways, at this party a week later, I saw someone go, an older woman. She went up to the DJ and she asked him to turn it out.
It's like you and everyone on Medicaid is like.
They turned it down like a little bit, like not enough. But then as people started to filter out, the party started to slow down. They turned it back up. Because there was a few of us still dancing. And now we were having a good time. Now they turned it back up. So now it's uncomfortable again. Like, it's painful again.
That goes back to this whole thing. You continue.
So I went up to the DJs. And I went, excuse me, can somebody go out to the dance floor just to hear how loud it is? Because it's like, I don't think you guys understand, like, being behind the speakers right now, how actually loud it is. Because you have your fucking headphones on and you're behind the speaker. And you have control over how loud it is. It's like so, like that's like something that shouldn't be happening, I think. Because then I thought about it when I was at the bar the week earlier, is that the bartenders are behind the speakers.
Yeah, like for example, I'm in control over the whole restaurant's loudness. So I'm in control of like tables all the way in the back to where I can't even hear it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people are like, the music's really loud over here. And it is, but I literally from where I am just can't hear it at all.
Well, you need to walk around and you need to fucking listen.
Well, no, because my fucking managers come and put their sneaky little finger. Like when I open, I set the volumes to what they need to be. And I have it nice and calm because I'm a calm girl. I'm a calm girl. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like I get into my party mode and stuff. But at the end of the day, I just want to sit and kiki and chat and laugh.
Right.
You know, that's all and I want. So I set it the way it is. And then without fail, every single time my manager comes behind the bar and gets his sneaky little fingers all over my volume. And he's like, I want it to be a nightclub in here. So he'll put the music up. But I'm like, you're failing to acknowledge the reality that this is not a nightclub. I know you want to work in a nightclub. So what normal people do when they want to work in a nightclub is they go put an application in a nightclub.
Yeah.
We work in a bar that's not a nightclub. We need to have the music at, it could be like, you know, up there and cute. But nobody's getting up and dancing.
Right.
You know, somebody's Nona sitting at the table.
And because nobody's getting up to dance, that means people, the only other option
is chit chat.
Is to chit chat. And you are not letting people chit chat. There is literally a threshold where there is no sound that's coming through except for the sound of the music.
It's like the only thing I hear is the sound of like music and then my heart palpitating.
Yeah. It's just so disrespectful and rude to your customers. And the thing is, I can't go anywhere anymore because it's like that everywhere. So in addition to spending money, I also lose time because I'm like sitting there frustrated and angry because I just spent money to scream.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm getting as much communication and connection with another human being as I would at my job. And like, I don't think that's fair. I think I paid to like actually have a space to communicate and connect with other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Like it's like just stay home. That's the only option.
So then you don't connect with people and then you have to pay for a therapist.
And then it's like, oh well, I go to somewhere cute like a little library coffee shop situation, but then we're screaming.
Yeah. It's like ridiculous. At my friend's mom's 60th, so the DJ goes, all right, he walks out and he goes, oh shit, that is really loud. I'm like, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's loud. Like, sorry to be a bitch about it, but like, stand up and go walk into the atmosphere that you're creating. And you're forcing on people because someone asked you to turn it down. You turned it down.
Also,
people had a fun time and now you turned it back up and people are continuing to filter out.
And this is a 60-year-old's birthday party. This isn't like a bachelorette party.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Read the room. Sort of on topic, but off topic. Like, I was at a gay bar that was doing karaoke with some friends the other day. You know karaoke. They're like, like screaming, like blasting, whatever. I'm literally just having a conversation. And I have a loud speaking voice, I think. But I'm just having a conversation with my friends. And this guy taps on my shoulder and he's like, can you guys lower it a little bit? You guys are screaming.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I literally just went, I'm in a bar and like turned back around. And then it got weird. And he was like, I'm joking. But I was like, I know you're not joking. Like, I know you're not.
Did you say that or you were like, all right?
I was just like, all right. Because I avoid conflict at all costs. But I did say, like, we're at a bar. And then that also reminds me of, like, at my bar is very weird. It lacks identity. Like, sometimes it's, like, nightclub energy. Sometimes it's, like, one person on a laptop and a 90-year-old, like, breastfeeding their child. But it happened to be a day that was, like, lit. And, like, I had this group of people, like, shots, like, buying me shots. Like, everyone's having a good time. Everyone's mingling with each other, like, getting up and walking around and stuff. And then I had this one guest that was like, excuse me, your other guests are being really, really loud. And I was just like, yeah, they are. And he's like, can you tell them to be quiet? And I was like, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Like, I can, but I don't want to do that. Like, we're at a bar. Like, people need a space.
What the fuck?
People need space. Loud bitches exist, and we need spaces where we can go be loud.
Again, like, for some reason, society doesn't want us to communicate anymore.
I know.
Because there's no way that, like, someone's voice, I mean, maybe someone's people.
Like, they were being loud. Like, they were like, yes, shots. Like, they were, like, having a good time. But I'm like, isn't this what the whole point of having a bar is? Like,
yeah. But, like, could a group of people talking prevent another group from talking?
If you're a bitter bitch, yeah.
Because I feel like it maybe disturbs the peace, but, like, it's not an environment for peace.
But I think it's very peaceful, actually, to, like, look around and see people yelling and laughing and having a good time and gathering as a community and drinking. There was no arguing happening. It was, like, celebration. I think that's very peaceful. Peaceful doesn't need to look like monks silent on a hill.
No, I totally agree. Like, when I say disturb the peace, I just mean, like,
disturb the quietness.
Disturb the quiet. But not like disturb in a negative way, just like
break the silence
and preventing, because loud music, when it's loud, and it's always motherfucking loud in New York City, every fucking borough, it's too loud. That actually legitimately prevents people from talking to each other. But another group of people being loud, I don't think it does. Like, I don't think, like, I feel like physically voices don't do the same thing that speakers do, right?
I feel like it's because he's probably sitting there on a date and he doesn't know how to have a conversation with his girlfriend and it's silent and awkward. So they're pointing the blame onto, like, we're not talking because we can't even hear each other because these other people are being loud and we hate them and they're the problem and we're not the problem and we're going to divert the blame onto strangers. Like, I feel like that's where that mentality comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're sitting there awkward, not knowing how to talk to your friends, and you see another group of people screaming and having a good time, you're going to be like, I hate them.
Yeah, because you want to be
world
having
is so
a good time.
Quick to hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's with the policing of celebration? Why are we policing celebration? At a bar. It's not like we're at church and people are like taking shots. We're at a fucking bar and people are having a good time.
Yeah.
And you're saying they're too loud. How dare you?
You know, I was even at a cafe and on an interview with Pro Tools NYC, shout out.
Hey.
I was interviewing at a cafe. We had a little side conversation. So we're talking and then, like, this lady comes up to us but we're not yelling. We're just talking. So some lady, like, sitting near us at a table near us comes up and she goes, hi, sorry, I'm trying to do my work. Can you be quiet?
Can you go home? Can you go to a library?
And I'm like, we're at a cafe. Like, we're not at a... Yeah, exactly. We're not at a library. Go somewhere else. Like,
ew,
what
the
are
audacity,
you doing?
Because I get a lot of people like second spaces. A lot of people don't like to, I like to separate my work from my home and I work from home. So I go to a coffee shop. That's all fine and dandy and that's wonderful. However, you are entering the public sphere. You can't bring the pleasures and privileges of being home working into the public sphere and expect everyone else to adjust to that lifestyle. I'm not working from home. I'm at a fucking cafe.
Yeah.
Spending money having a conversation with somebody.
Right.
I'm in public. You're not. You're in public. Yeah. You're not in the privacy of your home. You have the privilege of working from home, but you choose to come out in public. And now you're telling me to shut the fuck up. You shut the fuck up,
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, or go to a motherfucking library. Oh. Like, there's a library for a reason. Go to your office.
Since when did Starbucks become a library? Like, since when did cafes become, right, like, silence, no running in the lobby? Like,
right. Ever since everyone came in with their laptops. But we're here with our laptops having an interview. So it's, like, very much work-related.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to do all that. Maybe you're just friends catching up talking shit.
Right.
Literally, you have the right to do
literally
that.
We're literally just out having a conversation and, like, we are now, she came in and I remember, like, we were both kind of confused because it, like, took us back a little bit because it was just abnormal almost. Like, she said it so confidently, like, excuse me, sir. Sometimes people are so entitled that you almost, like, buy into it because they expect it and feel so confident in what they're entitled to. that you're like, there must be a reason mm-hmm. that they feel so comfortable projecting their entitlement onto everybody else. So like there was a few seconds and then we're like, wait, we're in a cafe. We weren't even talking out loud. And so now we're like sitting here kind of like half whispering. Even thinking about it, I'm like whispering.
Also, it's like majority rules. Like there's two of us, there's one of you.
Yeah.
Someone's going to suffer. It's going to be you because you're the one with the problem.
Yeah.
So, I hate this policing of volume. And I feel like you and me kind of are loud bitches or something, because I feel like we've gone through this a lot.
Like, and also I'm policing a volume actively by being like, bars are too loud.
But listen, we're allowed to be hypocrites because this is our podcast.
But also like, I feel like...
No, because we're talking specifically not about volume of other things. We're talking about human connection.
Yeah.
And people's need to silence human connection.
That's my... Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, that's the root of my issue is that like, I'm being prevented from connecting with my peers. Mm-hmm. And then the world wants to tell me that there's a mental health crisis and we need to all go and pay for therapy.
Yeah, so
that
we have somebody to talk
issue.
To. And then we'll get into trauma dumping as its own episode, but girl. Yeah.
It really like is affecting me psychologically that every time I actually sacrifice, I don't want to say sacrifice, but I don't have a lot of money and I don't have a lot of time. So I make this decision and I know is gonna like push me back in some way or another, whether it takes money out of my already short bank account or it takes time away that I could be doing my homework or I could be work editing the podcast or whatever the case takes. Maybe it takes time away from sleep that I won't have for the rest of the week, whatever the case may be. I make this decision to sacrifice those things, money and time, so that I can connect with human beings because I'm lacking and I'm yearning for it. And I show up to do that and I'm not even able to do it. And mm-hmm. it's like, then I lost a lot more than just time.
You didn't even just like remain idle. Like you lost in the process.
Yeah. And it's like triggering now like to go out and to like experience that again. Now it's like creating a life where I don't want to go out anymore. I don't want to go out with people and like spend time with people. It's like literally so... We were just talking about this before the pod, like this like lack of FOMO. There's this heavy lack of FOMO.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't feel it. We both don't feel it anymore because there's, I don't want to say trauma, but like if every time you go out, you're not getting anything from it, but you're losing money and you're losing time.
You're losing energy.
Sleep, yeah. You're losing energy because you have to scream in order to have like half of a connect.
All of our primal instincts as human beings have been taken from us. The one thing that we still have is like the need to... for the universe to experience itself and discuss different perspectives of like the human experience with each other. Like to me, that's the most important. Just communicating your experiences as a human being with other human beings is the only reason to live for me. So it's like it should be the most important thing is like having spaces to gather and chit chat and like not policing people's like language and experiences, you know, or volume. Or if you're passionate about something and you're freaking out and getting mad and that's an important emotion to experience. Like, why are we being fake happy all the time and suppressing all of the negative emotions?
Yeah.
The negative emotions are there.
And like, let's go out. Let's go to the next
let's
bar.
Dance. Oh my God. It's like, it's very much like you hear this thing all the time of like, I had a really stressful week. I just need to have a good time. Like, no, everyone experiences stress. Let's all complain together and scream about how stressed we
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk. Because the world used to talk. No, the world still does, but like it's rare now and there's obstacles and people's obstacles. Privilege get in the way. Like that bitch at the fucking cafe telling you to shut up because she wants quiet. So now you have to be quiet
yeah.
because she wants quiet.
Yeah.
That bothers me a lot.
And then I go to a bar and the manager wants it to be loud. So now I have to scream.
Mm-hmm. Or you were having a tiny little conversation about whether or not the blankets were cleaned with a customer and someone jumps down your throat because you have to answer in a way that's corporate appropriate instead of having an
mm-hmm.
authentic exchange with somebody.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was complaining at my current job to my girl, Aisha.
Hey, Aisha. Big shout out.
I was complaining to Aisha about the loudness of bars. We were complaining. I was bitching. She was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'll bleep it. Comes over and he's like, you're talking about do you know the term third person spaces or something? Like,
yeah, I think that's
second.
I just said second space. Remember earlier?
Is that what it is?
Or maybe it is third space. It's like you have work, home, and then a third space to go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he goes, you're talking about third spaces.
And he saw one TikTok and tried to teach you, like he knew something.
I mean, that was the first time I heard the term. So I'm like, what's that? And he's like, a place where people come together. Like,
I guarantee he saw one TikTok and tried to preach like you were an idiot. Yeah. I guarantee that's what happened.
No, he does that. Like, I went out. My boss asked me to go out and buy some bagels because they ran out. And he goes to me, hey, Holly, you're going out to get the bagels? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you know, you're not supposed to clock out for that, right? You don't have to clock out for that, right? And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, you're telling me that I don't have to... Like, you really are out here trying to protect me from my own... You think you have to protect me from my own stupidity.
Yeah, that's a funny way to put it.
You know, like, obviously I'm not going to clock out.
To go get a bagel for my boss.
But anyway, so he's explaining to me, you're talking about third-party spaces. That's when people come together in, I don't know, in like a communal way or whatever. He said that and I was like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And he goes, you sound so cringe right now. And I was
I want to beat his ass. Oh, girl.
And I'm like,
wait, why do you sound cringe? Because
I was bitching about it, third party spaces.
Oh, because you're not lit. You don't like loud music. So you're cringe, Holly, because you don't want to go throw ass in some club because you don't have the exact same hobbies that everyone else does around you. So you're cringe and an idiot.
Right.
I hate that. People express themselves in different ways.
Yeah.
From this fucking generation that wants to talk so badly about individualism, this fake ass generation wants to turn around and be like, you're cringy because you don't want to suffer through what other people call a good time. And you have opinions that are your own opinions. So you're cringe.
You're fuck cringe that. Because you don't want to pretend as everybody else pretends.
But anyway, fuck that. I hate him.
Yeah. I said, I want to be in a communal space. I'd love to like have a community, but like I just don't want to have to scream in order to do it.
Yeah. And people have different communal spaces. Just because my communal space isn't your place, it's cringy.
The thing is, again, back to the bar thing. Like, I made a choice to go to a bar. I didn't make a choice to go to a club. But every single bar that I go to is just too loud. And so it's like, there's nothing. And also, the winter's just ending. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but like, the date is April 10th. It's only been warm for the past few days. So
we just saw the eclipse. Hey.
Yeah. But before this, it's cold, especially cold at night. Even when we had like a slightly warm day, it's always cold. It's been cold. So it's not like the option was available for us to just walk around with White Claws on the sidewalk, you know, in like a warm night. So you have to go inside somewhere.
Who does he think he is telling you you're cringy to someone's face?
Because he's like, he really just like thinks everybody needs to know his opinion about the world.
We say as we're plugged into a podcast, but like,
listen, nobody's forcing anybody to. I'm nice to people. I'm even nice to this bitch. Whatever. He's too much of a bitch to support his coworkers.
No, because people are in this cult mentality. Have you talked about the cult mentality? Because I feel like what we've talked about all goes back to that somehow.
The cult mentality?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the tribal thing.
The tribal thing.
It's the thing of like, I don't have my own thoughts. I have the thoughts of the group because in order to survive, I need to be accepted into the tribe. So I'm not going to risk it by having my own thoughts. I'm just going to sacrifice my personality, my beliefs, my perspective.
Because our little dumb caveman brains just want to survive in a tribe.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes that proves fatal. Like sometimes the tribe says, let's kill all the Jews in a gas chamber. And you say, yeah, let's do that. I mean, I guess in that case, you are surviving because like, if you don't think so, you'll probably end up in the gas chamber as well. Or like hung on the street. But like,
you got
still, still like think about shit before you just go along with it. Yeah. I mean, like you can like, I don't know, because it was people agreeing with Hitler in the first place that like allowed him to get to that level of power. So if you just didn't agree, you wouldn't put yourself in a situation where now you have to agree just to actually survive.
He would have never gotten there in the first place if people were like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there was a time when you could speak your voice and like think differently without sacrificing your life and the life of your families. But like then you agreed, you jumped on the bandwagon until it became impossible to not jump on the bandwagon. Anyways, I'm just like annoyed with the world always. Always.
Me too.
Like it's just never ending.
No, it's like a current, it's like a constant discontent.
And I know it only creates more discontent.
No, because the thing is like we always say like, oh, we have this podcast so we could get things out of our chests and then function in the world better. It's only gotten worse. It's only gotten worse.
Yeah. And it could be ourselves to blame because we're looking at a glass half empty.
Basically, what this podcast has become is like watching two mentally ill people spiral.
Right.
But hey, you know, if you're going to spiral, you might as well make art.
Yeah. And like, I know that there are others, and we're here for the others who are like living in a world that's...
where you look around and everybody's like scary and unpredictable and like
scary and unpredictable. Like, children,
literally just like grown adult children that are just like making big decisions and like have power over each other, and it's creepy.
And they're fucking like, the ego is such a huge topic in all of that. Like, I came up with a quote in my mind because I was thinking over a situation that had happened in work, and I realized that people threaten you by radiating their ego onto you. And they basically warn you to shut up through the projection of their ego.
By them like using examples of other people's behavior, by being like, this person's an idiot because they said this. So then your caveman brain like, is like, I'm not going to say that thing.
No, it's the reason that I say project and radiate is because it's not through words. It's through like, I don't want to be like their vibrations, but there's a vibrating threat when they're in a position that threatens your perception of them being wise and intelligent and knowing everything. If there's something that you know, for example, if someone comes into power, into a position of power, let's say like there's a new manager, but they didn't work their way to the top. They're coming from the outside. So they don't know the POS system. They don't know whatever. They have to be taught. But like, usually they're taught by like another manager or whatever. If they're in a position where they don't know something and someone underneath them, sometimes not all people like this, but like this is just a form. This is kind of like an exact example of what I was. They don't know something, and you find yourself not wanting to explain to them because you know that their
ego is going to shatter in front of you, and then it's going to be a mess.
Yeah. Something about what they're doing is through the air. It's like when someone is like words, it's like they're expressing frustration somehow, like through heavy breathing, or like, I guess this is just about reading people. Like, it's just nonverbal communication where like someone's like, watch yourself right now because I'm in a vulnerable position. I'm in a position where weakness is showing. Watch what you say. Watch what you do.
Oh God, that's so scary.
And it happens. And like, I found myself being like, oh, I need to shut up right now. Like, I know something, one more thing more than you do in this particular situation, even though it's not a lot. It's not like, it'll be like, where do you find this food option? Something like that. Something stupid, but you still feel it. Like, if I tell them where it is, like, I have to let them find out.
Then they're going to feel like an idiot and then take it out on you.
Or yeah. Or I have to pretend like, let's see, even though I know exactly where I'm going, you know? Mm-hmm. Or
yes,
you know,
that's like a familiar feeling. It's like pretending like you discover something along with someone when you're actually like know exactly where it is.
Yeah, it's something about their energy, but the way they exist just warns you. It warns you not to there's like a phrase, not to like
not to like expose your knowledge,
not to expose any sort of not weakness. It's not weak to not know something, you know. It's not, there's nothing wrong with being new to a system, to a POS system, a computer system, whatever, and not knowing how to find something, not aware. There's nothing wrong with that. But for some reason, you can feel that like that challenges them in a way that's a threat to you. Yeah, anyways, I guess like that perturbed turned into
like a topic.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
It's like, do we even get into toilets? Do we even talk about
our like, this is insane, guys. Like, do you want to hear what our topic was supposed to be for today? Our topic was supposed to be toilets.
Right.
And instead we talked shit about food industry, power dynamics, communication, the lack thereof, the suppressing of celebration, volume control, bar settings, like, third places. But toilets is still going to be the cover art because I have a really nice idea on how to draw a toilet.
Yeah, let's just call it toilets, whatever.
Because want to know what? It's a whole lot of poopy garbage.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of poopy garbage going on in this world. And that's how we feel. We feel like shit in a toilet, backed up, overflowing, brown, murky liquid.
Yes.
Chunky.
Mm-hmm.
Chunky poopy. You know,
like I'm walking around with poopy face all day.
Yeah, like there's poop on my diaper walking with a limp. That's me.
Yeah, you're right. We're backed up. We're clogged with emotions.
Uh-huh. Clogged, overrunning with emotions, stinky.
We're paying for therapists who are also clogged with emotions.
Yeah, I'm like, at this point, everyone around me is like mentally spiraling. So I'm like, how are therapists doing? You know, like, They can't be okay.
I see you trying to figure out where to put that.
Because I'm like, do I put it down or do I just give up and keep it in my hand and keep sipping it?
All right. The liquid around, when you go into a public bathroom, there's always like a liquid around the base of the toilet.
Right. And you're like, is it pee?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, what is it? What is going on there? Leave us some comments. By the way, it was brought to my attention that the comment section of Spotify is you can only do one comment. So I think that's the place where you're supposed to say, I love this podcast. Like, this is such a great show. Love these guys. So that's what like you're supposed to do there.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Cause I've been.
Okay. So
I've received some like complaints about the comments.
I actually did too, but they weren't complaints. They were just like my mom being like, I don't understand. Cause she left.
The complaints were from my dad. Yeah.
She's like, I wrote a comment, I said the thing, and now it's not letting me do it. So I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Maybe yeah. It only lets you do one. So let us know how much you love us down in the comments under Spotify.
Right. And then let's do this. Either DM us, comment, or comment on an
DM
Instagram
DM if you
want
to be anonymous. And if you want to be public and have a shout out in the podcast, just let us know in a comment down on any of our Instagram. We're always checking. So yeah. Any of our Instagram posts, any of our stories, just let us know.
If you want to be public too, you can also DM us. Like, if you have like a long paragraph that you want to say, like you have some shit on your mind.
Right.
You can say that too. Maybe what we'll do is
just let us know. I would like to be anonymous.
Yeah.
Or hey, this is what I feel. Throw it in the podcast.
If you don't say anonymous, we'll shout you out so that you like get credit for your thoughts. Is what I'm thinking. Or you can email us. That's another option. Email if you're not on the gram. You can email us. You can email us at. Email us at apartment1r. That's apartment1r.hm@gmail.com. That's apartment1r.hm@gmail.com.
That's R as in regulated bowel syndrome.
Yeah. All right. So what's the deal with that? Let us in the comments below.
What you think the liquid is around the toilet.
Yeah, let's figure that out.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm like, it could be cleaner. It could be like a cleaning liquid.
Or it could be like, you know, there's like that box of water behind toilets. Like it could sort of be like a dripping from there.
Or what it most likely is like urine. You know, I'm thinking it's urine. But if that's the case, everybody's pretty well hydrated. So good for them.
Yeah, but why is it ending up like in a puddle? Because like, wouldn't it be like drops?
What I learned is people are disgusting. And what I learned also is that people don't like to like sit on toilets. People like to squat, aim, and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So there could be accidents there. And sure, it would originate in a splattered kind of situation.
You think it, like,
but then
gravity.
The gravity pulls it to the center of the base
a
of the toilet.
A river starts to form.
There's a moat around the toilet of urine.
Yeah, it's always that. Maybe somehow friction, like it's
there's
just
friction involved. Yeah. There's like the
maybe
thing
it's
that,
heading towards the wall, but the thing is, the toilet's keeping it from going to the wall, so it ends up stopping at the base.
Or like the toilet is like the lowest point of the floor, like the drainage system or whatever.
Is it drops from different pee than you think? Like maybe it's like
it's a collection
it's
of
a
the
collection,
day.
Yeah.
It's like I wonder if we got like a swab and DNA kit, like what type of information we would find there.
Because it's always there. Like when you look, there's always a puddle. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What we need is we need to get physicists on the phones.
Right.
We need to get plumbers on the phones.
Archaeologists. Right. Like, we need everybody to be hands-on.
Yeah, this is a group investigation.
We need boots on the ground. Yeah. Like, we need, like, first-hand witnesses.
Does anybody have the... This doesn't feel like someone watched this happen. Nobody's, like, aiming their penis at the direction of the base, I feel like.
Of the floor.
It has to be that. All right, that's our theory, I think, here at Apartment 1R. Is that...
It's a collection of urine throughout the day.
Sort of either just... splattering onto the floor, or maybe also like when it ends up
mixed
on the
with
toilet,
like a messy mop situation to where there's like excess liquid like running into the reservoir as well.
But maybe also, you know how there's like sometimes toilets, there's that little gap in between like the front of the toilet seat.
Yes.
Maybe like drips on the gap. They just sort of drip. Like, you know when you drink water, sometimes, like, just the water doesn't go into your mouth and it just drips down the glass.
There's a little extra at the sides.
Yeah, and those will end up at the bottom of the glass. So maybe there's just some extra drips of urine on that gap.
And it's like one drip is nothing, but after a whole day, there's like 400 drips.
Right.
And now you got a puddle.
Right.
What I want to know is at what point we decided that like throwing paper towel onto the floor is acceptable. Because I'm like, there's very little things that gross me out. Like I could like sit and eat a sandwich while watching like gory horror. Like very little things make me go, ew. Like wet paper towels and wet toilet paper disintegrating into like sandy, like putty, like Mod Podgy, chalky floors. Like to me, that's the most disgusting thing that's ever been invented in the world. And like, it seems to be something everyone's okay with. It seems to be like you wash your hands, you throw it on the floor, you don't give a shit, you create sludge.
I don't see the sludge often, but I often see, I see the beginning. I see like a fresh,
like the person right before you,
crinkled paper towel. And it's usually due to the fact that, not that the garbage is full, but that towels like sort of float down. Like there's no density, so they don't drop to the bottom of the garbage. They just sort of all like
linger at the top.
Because nobody has the bravery to like push.
Right.
Push the one at the top.
So there's like a kinetic force happening.
There's a lot of empty space happening in the garbage. Uh-huh. And then someone sort of like half-assedly throws the soiled paper towel on the others.
I think that's giving them too much credit. I think people are fully throwing it on the floor. Like you said, you're, you know, not a night owl. You don't like loud clubs or whatever. I'm a 4 a.m. in the bar kind of bitch. You see the start of it, I see the end of it.
That's funny.
I see the end of it.
Yeah, I see the start of it.
I see the Mod Podge. Like, I see the
Yeah, but then
the
that paper towel, like, someone was too lazy to, like, it just, like, sort of bounced off
the top.
So then
one person sees the one on the floor, and then the next person goes, oh, I guess we're trash, and throws it on the floor, not giving a
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, that does psychologically happen,
I've psychologically,
noticed.
Yeah, it becomes this, like, snowball effect of just garbage
and
chaos.
The puddle starts to grow, and so through its travels to the base of the toilet, mm-hmm. it hits sometimes
the paper towel, and that's where the sludge happens.
Yeah, and then you have girls like walking in from like a rainy day with the heels, and they're stomping all over. You have a group of people in there snorting coke, mm-hmm. sucking dick. That paper towel sees a lot.
I want to sit that paper towel down as a guest for this podcast. That would be the juiciest episode we've had so far.
That would be an opportunity of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve the sludge paper towel.
What do paper towels see?
That's what I want to know. Let us down in the comments below what you think paper towels see.
Yeah,
let us know what's seen behind the sludge.
What happens before the drip makes it to the base of the toilet?
Right, these are the burning questions that need to be answered in our society.
Right. And we're here to answer them.
We are the brave people on the front lines of this frontier,
mm-hmm.
of getting to the bottom of what happens and why the sludge is created, why the chaos is ensued in the public bathroom.
Why do we swim to get to the toilet?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So we ask these questions, but we as a community, us and the listeners, we get together.
This is our third space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're gathering to figure it out.
Right. We want us to have a conversation about this liquid. What other?
It's almost like it's not liquid. It's plasma. You know, it's the fifth element.
There's other elements in there, yes.
It's not liquid anymore. It becomes an entity. It has thoughts. It could be mad at you. It could be on your side.
It can be threatening. Like, you can look at a pool next to the toilet seat and think, I'm threatened by this.
Right.
Because sometimes, too, it, like, really expands. You really, like, have your feet in it.
I want to have a discussion about those little paper things. Are you someone, when you sit on a public toilet, what's your strategy? Are you bare-ass to porcelain? Are you ripping out that little paper U-shape thing that goes on the toilet? Are you crumpling up toilet paper to sit on? Like, what's your strategy? Talk to me.
What I do is put paper towel down.
Okay. I think you know the answer when it comes to me. I think you know that I'm an unhygienic, gross pig.
And when you poop?
I raw dog that porcelain throne in public.
I see.
I mean, it depends. If I'm at like a nest, if there's sludge, if I'm walking into a bathroom and there's sludge, I'm putting the toilet paper down. For the most part, I'm sitting right on that seat and letting it be.
Definitely at a sludge party. But the thing is, I feel like at a sludge party, you don't want to poop.
You don't want to poop. Because there's usually, when there's a sludge party, there's also a line of 20 people at the door.
Yeah. If it's not an easy poop, because you're taking a big risk. If you poop,
it could be a one and done, or it could be a, right. My asshole's burning and I'm wiping.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
The smear on the toilet paper isn't decreasing in size. it could be a big risk. So I feel like you either just have to, unless it's one of those poops, like it's right there. Like, you know that sometimes you can like, tell.
It's a nice, like hard sphere that's sitting right at the edge, just ready to plunk.
Yeah.
That's when you know.
Sometimes, you just know this is going to be an easy one. And bless those times.
When it's like pushing a sausage out of its casing.
Oh, there's an error. How much did we lose?
No.
I'm scared.
No, because we got some good content there.
I'm scared.
If it all went away, I'm literally going to cry. Like, I give up and we're going to bed tonight and we're starting again on another day. Because we just had gold.
All right. So what else? Toilet stuff. I think I had something. Oh, I have a good one. The consistency of toilet paper. And here's my thing. You don't really see what's happening on your ass side. Usually.
Do you look? You don't look.
I don't look. Well, how would you? Because there's usually like a in front of the mirror is like the sink. You have to kind of, how would you do that?
I look if it's a mess.
Wait, really?
Because I want to know, because it's like, how do you not look? Because I saw if you look, you're disgusting and you're gross and you're weird. But I was like, if you don't look, how do you know when you're done?
You mean wiping?
Yeah.
I just hope for the best. Sometimes it's like I'm...
Because sometimes I'll feel like I'm done and then I just like peek and then I'm like, oh, I'm not done.
Interesting. Never looked.
No, I was shamed and I learned that most people don't look. And then
I mean, I'm not shaming you.
I looked inward because I was like, is it weird that I look? Because I was listening to this thing and they were like, oh my God, some people look. Like it was like a big thing that like some people look. And I was like, oh my God, I'm that person. I'm that weirdo. I look. But then I'm like, no, because I've been surprised by what I've seen before, which means that like if I didn't look, I've seen a mess when I thought it was going to be a clean slate. So I'm like, if you don't look, you're just pulling your pants up and you're walking around with like poop all over you.
And then it's like, what if later on you have a situation going down and like you think you're clean down there, but someone's looking straight at your poop.
Right.
They're going, oh, yeah. And they're separating
the cheeks to find a little duty.
For an unpleasant surprise. Well, okay. The toilet paper at our job is soft. But the problem with soft is that it's disintegrating
into the vagina.
As you wipe, it's fully disintegrating.
Soft as in like thin or soft as in like
plushy and towel-like?
Because I feel like for me, it's like if it's thin, it's disintegrating. Like it needs to be thick.
No, it's like thick. It's, but like now that I know that you look at your butthole, I'm like.
No, I don't look at my butthole. I look at the toilet paper. Like I wipe, I look, I see, is there poop on it?
Oh, that's what I do.
Okay, so you look. No, I don't get up and mount. I don't mount the mirror.
I thought like you were bending down and looking through your legs.
No, I'm not doing all
that. At your butthole. And I was going, I've never done that before. How many times have I thought that I cleaned the mess? No, I look at the toilet paper.
Okay, yeah, no, that's my point.
Never, ever do I not look at it.
Yeah, people don't look.
There's
That's wild, right?
That's wild, yeah.
And I was shamed. I was shamed.
Because sometimes it's a one wiper, and sometimes, like, you need to flush before you...
Sometimes it's an infinity. Sometimes it's a get in the motherfucking shower.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm a dirty bitch until I get home tonight. All right, so this might be a moment where, like, I'm... Because I thought I was going to start mansplaining, but I might not be mansplaining. I might be revealing instead something to you, which is that the toilet paper that you think is nice is disintegrating into your butt. You think that it's plush.
Do you think that the toilet paper I buy is because I think it's nice?
No, I feel like our toilet paper is good. Like, I'm just remembering that you don't work at the same job as me. So like you don't use the same toilet paper at work as me. But the toilet paper at my job. Because I work for very rich, very powerful people. Like Wall Street people in Tribeca are the members of this exclusive club of rich people. And the toilet paper, sure, it's soft, it's thick. But as I wipe, it's disintegrating. There is powder poofing into the air. I know, it's horrendous. And I'm like, I would much, much, much rather sheets of cheap paper.
Loose leaf paper.
Much rather.
of like the cheap shit that I buy. I would much rather that.
The reason that I say that is because I'm like, for a long time, I'm like, why are we buying this toilet paper? It's horrible toilet paper. So I asked, or I told him, I was like, hey, like, because we work in the same club. And I was like, hey, what about that toilet paper? It's horrible, isn't it? And he's like, what? I love the toilet paper. It's like so soft and nice. And I'm like, well, so we buy it because we think that it's soft and nice.
So a man buys the toilet paper.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you go to a place, you're wiping your ass and you're like, this toilet paper is really nice and smooth. I'm just letting you know that your asshole is covered in like little rolls.
Ew.
And like micro.
And it's like, we don't see it.
But I'm just saying, men out there, like, you might not even realize that like,
you're covered in toilet paper.
Yeah. Because it's behind you.
Check your ass. How do you feel about, we can't talk about toilets without talking about Mr. Porter Potty.
Oh.
I had an experience in a porter potty where the smell alone made throw up splash to the back of my closed teeth.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
like, is that an exaggeration?
No, like I gagged and went, and like had to hold my mouth shut.
Oh my God, were you pooping or were you peeing?
No, I just walked in and threw up because it was oh like God. A wave. And things don't gross me out, like I said. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm looking inward and realizing I'm grossed out.
There's not enough
things.
Airflow going on.
Yeah, it's like this, like, it's like if you were to like cotton swab the wall, there's like unidentified bacteria. Like there's its own ecosystem inside the porter potty.
You know what? Why don't they just take off the ceiling?
Right. Because what if it's raining? But like, if it's not raining,
have one with the ceiling on for just, or have it
like a convertible option.
Yeah, like where you like can attach it to the back for just in case. That was all I had on toilets. Cause there's other things.
I have pee pee privilege. Like I like to call it pee pee privilege. Like I love peeing outside. You as a woman, do you? It's like rarer and harder for you to pee outside. But when you do you like it, or is it like a horrible experience?
I hate it.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you go, because I feel like guys can aim to
splashing at your feet, right?
Yeah, it's right between your feet, basically. And it's splashing, and like sometimes it starts to pool around your feet. Then there's like this panic where you're like still peeing, but like you're trying to move.
I've experienced that panic to where like if you're peeing on a sidewalk and then the street.
It's happened again. Okay, so I feel like we've reached the end of our toilet thing, really. Because I'm sure there's a lot more, but I feel like our minds are sort of dwindling.
Yeah, we ranted a lot earlier today, and it got a lot out of us.
Yeah. Remember, write a comment down if you think of anything toilet related.
Because we retouch the topics for our season finale. So if we forgot anything, let us know. We'll touch upon it.
And speaking of, like, if you have a funny story, you don't have to write it, actually. We want to do, like, voice recordings too.
Yeah. So if you want to just record on your notes a voice memo, try to make it the best, you know. Make sure you're not in a loud room, blah, blah, blah. Let us know. Do a voice memo. Do a little rant. Tell us a story, a little story time. Let us know what perturbs you. If you have a poop story you want to talk about, let us know. If you have a shit story you want to talk about, right. Let us know. A pee pee, poo poo. Anything.
We
any story.
We
want to
hear stories. Like, we want to hear human stories.
So, you know, we're all trying to communicate. We're all the universe experiencing itself. We're not trying to silence the discussion. So if you guys have anything to say, record in a little voice memo, say hi to us and send it over via email, DM us and ask, how do I do this? We'll talk, you know, we'll figure it out together.
But anyways, as the night comes to a close. Oh, Michael, what do you love?
You were trying this thing where we're not so hateful. What do I love? It's sad.
Oh, no,
that
we had another thing. What are you obsessed with?
What am I obsessed with? Okay.
Or is that too, like, it's not the same?
Because I guess there's two different answers there. Like, what am I obsessed with? I'm obsessed with breakfast burritos. Breakfast burritos, by the way, are my hyper fixation.
Yeah, he is.
Like,
addicted.
It's actually a problem. Like, it's not like a quirky personality trait. It's like an eating disorder to the point where it's actually like my mouth is watering right now thinking about it. I would be okay if I could only eat them for the rest of my life.
Right.
That's my death wish. Like, if I was put to death. And I had my last meal without a shadow of a doubt. It would be a breakfast burrito with enough ketchup to tranquilize a horse with a nice coffee. So that's what I'm obsessed with.
What do you love? What was the thing that you love?
I don't know. Did I have something specific?
You must have.
And I love taking loads from my man. It's like you can leave that in if you want. Like, it's like you could take it out, you could leave it in, but I do. I love taking loads from my man. And I'm obsessed with breakfast. So that's where I'm at.
You like to consume.
I love consuming. Like,
you love consuming.
I love consuming.
You love your breakfast burrito. You love your coffee. You love your cum.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
You love your nicotine.
Like, I just like to be filled with things. Like, I'm just like an empty, depressed hole that needs to be filled with iced coffee.
Fill the tunnel of your mouth with a dick and then fill your throat with the cum.
Right. And then, like, wash it all down with an iced coffee. Coffee and a breakfast burrito. Yeah. That's what I'm obsessed with. That's what I love. Have a good night. Thank you guys for listening. If you are on your way to work, please stop and get a breakfast burrito.
Stop and get yourself a fat iced coffee, a large. Ask them for a large, the largest one you have.
And if you're in a specific type of mood this morning, maybe stop and take a load. Thank you for listening. We love you, mean it.
I hope the next time you have to poop at work, you are fortunate enough to have a one wiper.
Right. And I hope you check. Yeah. And I hope you're for sure. And I hope you never have to enter a porta potty again. I really do.
Yeah.
And if you're an eighth grader that's like, oh, ho, 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 trying to tip a porta potty, I hope you trip and break your spleen. Anyway, good night.
Good night.
Good morning. Wherever you are across the world, please give us a thumbs up. Let us know down in the comments below what you think of today's episode. And as always, love you, mean it.